Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at the bottom of 21b, just a couple lines, two, four, six lines from the bottom. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Now, in our Mishnah, we're talking about Torah reading during the week and on Shabbat afternoon. And it says, "Ein pochtin mehen ve'ein mosifin." We have three aliyot on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbat afternoons, and we don't add on to that number. We don't take away from that number, and we don't add on to that number. It's always three. Tana, we have a teaching. Hapoteach, the one who opens the Torah reading, that is the first aliyah, mevarech lefanecha. He makes the blessing before the reading of the Torah. Ve'hachoteim, and the third aliyah, the one who closes up the Torah reading, mevarech le'acharecha. He makes the bracha afterwards. So basically, in original Talmudic times, they only said two blessings, one at the very beginning of the Kriya and one at the very end of the Kriya. And all the intermediate aliyot, they didn't make their own blessings. However, they did change that, as we'll see right now. The Ha'idna, and nowadays, even in Talmudic times, the Kulhu Mavarchi, all of the people who go up to the Torah make a blessing, Lefaneha Ula Achareha, before their aliyah and at the end of their aliyah. Hainu Taima, the reason for this, the Takinu Rabbanan, the rabbis decreed gezeira, an edict, mishum hanichnasin u'mishum hayotzin, for those who come in during the middle of the Torah reading and for those who go out during the middle of the Torah reading. So it turns out that even in Talmudic times, not everyone was in shul the whole time or came on time. So people came in sometimes in the middle of the Torah reading, and if they came in and saw that someone wasn't blessing on the Torah, they might draw a mistaken conclusion that it's not required, when in fact it is required to say a bracha before you learn Torah. And if they left early, and so they didn't hear the final blessing, they might reach the conclusion that you're not supposed to say a blessing after the Torah. So to avoid this confusion, because it's important for the sacredness of Torah study to know that you have to make a bracha before and after, they made every aliyah say a bracha before and after. So that became the custom, or that became the decree that the rabbis did in order to forestall a lessening of the respect accorded to the Torah reading and to Torah study. Okay, four lines up from the bottom. Barashei Chodeshim, on Rosh Chodesh, the new month, uvechulo shel moed, and the intermediate days of the festival, korin arba'a. We read four aliyot. Now, the Gemara here is going to deal with the following problem. How can we put four aliyot into the Rosh Chodesh reading? And we're going to see that there's a specific problem with it. We have a number of rules that we have to follow. First of all, the first rule is that we have four aliyot. The second rule is each aliyah must be at least three verses long. The third rule is that you always have to read at least three verses of every parsha in the Torah. And the fourth rule is that you can never leave over less than three psukim at the end of a parsha. So those are four rules, and we have to check them all off in order to follow the procedure. Now the problem is that in the Rosh Chodesh reading, we actually have three parshas, by which I mean three paragraphs in the Torah. This is all found in Bamidbar chapter 28, Bamidbar Chavchat. The first section of the Rosh Chodesh reading actually deals with the daily offering that's offered every day in the Beit HaMikdash, and that section is eight psukim long. The second section deals with the Shabbat offering, and it is two psukim long. The third parsha, the third section, deals with Rosh Chodesh, and it is five psukim long. So all told, we have 8, 2, and 5. So we have 15 verses divided into three different parshiot. So the Gemara is going to ask, how are we going to divide this? And we'll see that it's not so simple. In fact, it doesn't work out mathematically unless we come up with an ingenious solution, which we will. But let's get to it one step at a time. Well, I'll just mention what the ingenious solution is, not to keep you in suspense. We repeat a verse. So what we do is we read the first three verses in the first aliyah, Aleph, Bet, Gimel. And then in the second aliyah, we repeat Pasuk Gimel. We say Pasuk Gimel again, which takes us through Gimel, Dalet, Hey. That leaves over three verses in the for the third aliyah in that parsha, because now we've read 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5. So we have 6, 7, 8. We read those 6, 7, 8 in the third aliyah, plus we read Ubiyom HaShabbat, so we add in 8, 9, and 10. And then that leaves us over for the fourth Aliyah. We have five verses for Rosh Chodesh. So that's how we solve the problem. But if we don't repeat Pasuk Gimel, we run into a problem, which is exactly the problem that the Gemara is going to run into right now. Ba'amine Ula Barav Ne Rava. Ula Barav asks Rava. Parsha Rosh Chodesh Ketzad Korinota. How will we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? And it mentions what the Parsha is. Korinota Tzavet B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Alehem Et Karbini Lachmi. That's the beginning of the Torah reading in Bamidbar Chavchet. Tehavyan Tamnaya Psuke. That Parsha is 8 verses long. Hechi Navi. How shall we do it? Nikre Tre Tlata Tlata Psuke. If we read the first two Aliyahs as their minimums, so we read 3 verses and 3 verses, Pashuluhu Tre, then we only have 2 left over because it's a total of 8. The aim is Shirin B'Parsha Pachut Mishlosha Psukim. We never leave over less than 3 psukim in the Parsha. So that doesn't work. Okay, we can solve that. Nikre Arba'a Arba'a. So we'll read the first Aliyah 4 verses and the second Aliyah 4 verses, and that fits in fine. We have 8 verses total. Pashuluhu Shiva. That leaves us over 7 verses. Uviyoma Shabbat Havyan Tre. The second parsha dealing with the Shabbat offerings is 2 verses. Uvroshechachichem Havyan Chamisha. And the Rosh Chodesh section, which is the third parsha, is 5 psukim. Hechinavid. How shall we do it? Nikre Tre Meha. If we read the 2 verses of Shabbat, V'chad Mehanach, and 1 from Rosh Chodesh, we have a problem. I'm on the top of Chaf Bet Amud Aleph now. Ein matchilin b'parsha pachut mishlosha psukim. One of our rules is that you have to read 3 verses in any new parsha. Okay, so fine. So let's do that. Likre tre meha. Let's read the 2 verses of Shabbat. Utlata mehach. And then 3 psukim of Rosh Chodesh. But then we have another problem. Pashuluhu tre. That only leaves us over 2 more psukim. And so for the fourth aliyah, we only have 2 psukim left when we really need 3. So we're stuck. So that's his question. Amar lo, Rava responds to Ula, and he says, Zulo shamati, I never heard an answer to your question. Now, I don't know how he doesn't know an answer to his question. What were they doing in shul? Rosh Chodesh happens once a month. They got to do this. So he didn't know the answer. I'm not sure why, but he said, I never heard an answer to your question, but I do have a similar situation that I do have an answer to. Kayotze ba shamati, I heard a similar case, ditnan, as is mentioned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Ta'anit, and it's discussing the sort of jury duty for Kohanim and Levim, that the Kohanim and Levim would serve in the Beit HaMikdash for a week, once or twice a year. And at the same time, they also had a crew of Yisraelim, and what the Yisraelim would do, among other things, is they would do a Torah reading each day of their Ma'amad. And the Torah reading was the 7 days of creation. So it says in Ta'anit, Bayom Rishon, on the first day of their Ma'amad, they would read Breshit and Vayihi Rakia, these 2 parshiot. Now, Breshit is 5 psukim long, and Yihi Rakia is 3 psukim long, so you have a total of 8 psukim. Now, this creates a problem for us because, as we know, the Torah reading should be a minimum of 10 psukim long, and this is only 8 psukim, so we have that problem, but we'll put that aside for now. The Tania La, what it teaches about this is Breshit Bishnayim, that you can break Breshit into 2 aliyot, and Yihi Rakia Be'achad, and Yihi Rakia will be 1 aliyah. Now in this situation, you're only going to have 3 aliyot, so that works out fine. Vavinanba, and that's how it works. However, it doesn't really work out so well. Bishlama Yihi Rakia Be'achad, it's no problem that Yihi Rakia can be an aliyah, Tetzlata Psuke Havu, because there are 3 psukim. Ela Breshit Bishnayim, but how are you going to break Breshit into 2 aliyot. Hamisha psuke havu. There's only 5 psukim, which is exactly the problem that we have. V'tanya, we learn in a braita, hakore b'torah lo yichot mishlosha psukim, that no person who reads an aliyah in the Torah should have less than 3 psukim, have fewer than 3 psukim. V'itmar Allah, and they say about this, 2 possible solutions to the dilemma. Rav amar doleg, Rav says you skip back, Ushmuel Amar Posek, and Shmuel says you create a stop. So let's understand each of these. What Rav says is that you can repeat a verse, which is what we do. So in other words, Rav is saying that if the first aliyah of Breshit is Pasuk Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, the second aliyah can repeat Gimel and read Dalet and Hay. Shmuel says differently. Shmuel says you can chop a verse in half. So you can read Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, but only half of Gimel. So it turns out that the Pasuk Gimel in Breishit, you could break it up. You could break it up as follows. You could say that the first Aliyah will read the first half of the verse, which says Vayar Elokim et ha'or ki tov, and God saw the light that it was good. Stop. The second Aliyah will pick up in the middle of the verse and read Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech, and God divided between the light and the darkness. So even though you only have five verses, what you've really done is create six verses by chopping one in the middle. Okay, so we're going to discuss these two possible solutions. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says that you can skip back and repeat a verse. My time alo Amar Posek. Why doesn't he say that you can chop the verse in half? Kasavar, he holds, Kol Psuka Delo Paske Moshe, any verse that Moshe didn't punctuate, Anan Lo Paskin Anle, we don't punctuate, meaning, who gave you the chutzpah to create a new verse? The verses were given by Moshe. He tells us when the verse begins and ends, and we can't end an aliyah in the middle of a pasuk when Moshe didn't end that pasuk in that place. That's how Rav holds. Ushmuel amar paskin alei. Shmuel says it's allowed. You are allowed to do this. We are going to challenge Shmuel. V'ha'amar Rabbi Chanina Kra. We have a teaching in the name of Rabbi Chananya. Sorry, not Chanina. Rabbi Chananya, who was a Kra. He was an expert in the cantillation and the vowelization of the Torah text. Tsar Gadol Hayali, he says, I've always had a great deal of pain. Etzel Rabbi Chanina HaGadol. With Rabbi Chanina HaGadol, who I guess was his teacher, or the posek in his town, because he always, Rabbi Chananya wanted to break psukim in the middle. Velo he tearly lifsok, but Rabbi Chanina never let him do this. He didn't permit me to do it. Ela letinoko chobei rabban. He only allowed me to do it for the little students in school, the little children. Hoel ulahit lamed asuyin. Since they were doing it just to learn, he would allow them to to break the verses in the middle in order to teach them. Hatam time amai. So on behalf of Shmuel, we answer there. What's the reason why he was allowed to do it? Mishun dulo afshar. Because you can't teach children if you're stuck with the requirement to read the whole verse. So you have to be able to read part of a verse and teach them what each word means. Hachanami lo afshar. So here too, I have no choice. In other words, I only have five psukim. I have a rule that says that I need to have three psukim in any aliyah. So I have no choice but to chop it. Now, of course, he does have a choice. He could follow Rav's opinion. The Gemara doesn't really discuss why he doesn't say follow Rav's opinion of repeating a verse, but it looks like Shmuel had an aversion to repeating a verse. Maybe he felt like that wasn't kosher, or maybe it would. Maybe it would make it seem like the verse was written twice in the Torah, something like that. But Shmuel obviously didn't like that. Ushmuel amar posek, Shmuel who says that you chop the verse in half, my time alo amar dolek, why doesn't he say that you repeat the verse, which is my question, except the answer given is a slightly different one. So maybe this is a better answer than the one I gave. Gezeira mishum hanichnasin and mishum hayotzin, it's because of the people coming in and out. In other words, if you repeat the verse, if you start the aliyah from verse 3 because you're repeating verse 3, it makes it seem like it's permitted to start a parsha when there's only two psukim that come beforehand. And that would seem to be a problem according to our rules. Okay. Meitve. Let's ask a similar question. Parsha shel shisha psukim. What if I have a parsha that's six psukim long? Korino ta bishnayim. No problem. Simple. I can read it with two aliyot. I have one aliyah of three verses, and a second aliyah of three verses equals six. No problem. V'shel chamisha psukim. What about five psukim? Which is exactly the problem that we're dealing with. Breishit, the first parsha of Breishit, is only five verses long. And that was why we produced two solutions, either to repeat verse gimel or to chop verse gimel in half. But that is not the answer that the Gemara gives here. Here the Gemara says, biyachid. You can't have two aliyahs when you only have five verses. You can only have one aliyah.
But what if you didn't do it the right way? Kara Rishon Shlosha. What if the first Aliyah read three verses and now you only have two left? Hasheni Kore Shnayim Parsha Zu. So the second Aliyah can read the two Aliyot from this Parsha. Ve'echad mi Parsha Acheret. And then you just keep going. Read one verse from the next Parsha. Now we know that's a problem already. We argued above that you have to begin a Parsha with three verses. But this is an alternative viewpoint. The Tanakhama view does not hold by that rule. Obviously, Ula was assuming that rule. But for now, the Tanakhama says you could just read one verse from the next Parsha. V'yesh Omrim. But there are those who say Shlosha, that you have to read three verses. Because you cannot begin a parsha with less than three psukim. Fine. Ve'im ita, but if this is true, lemanda amar doleg nidlog, ulemanda amar posek nifsok. Why don't we employ one of our strategies? Meaning, just like we did with Breishit, why don't we repeat, according to Rav, verse Gimel? Or why don't we, according to Shmuel, chop verse Gimel in half? And, this is the problem. Rashi says we can't chop verse Gimel in half because we already read all of verse Gimel. So we can't chop it in half. So Rashi thinks that posek doesn't really work here. The Ritva, however, says that it can work. The Ritva says that it's not dealing with the Bedieva situation, but the Lechatchila situation, meaning if you have a Parsha of five Psukim, why can't you just be Posek? Why do you need to say that you can only read it Biyachid? So he thinks it works out fine. Rashi doesn't think it works out fine. But nonetheless, why can't we repeat verse Gimel to solve the problem? Shiny Hasam, it's different there. De'efshar b'hachi. In that situation, you're able to do it, whereas in this situation, you're not able to do it. Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halacha ki yesh omrim. The halacha is like the yesh omrim, which is what we were assuming, that you have to say three psukim in the beginning of a parsha. Va'amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he also says, kishem she'ein matchilin b'parsha pachut mishlosh psukim, just like you don't begin a parsha by reading fewer than three verses, kach ein mishayrin b'parsha pachut mishlosh psukim, so you also never leave over fewer than three psukim at the end of a parsha. We were assuming both these rules already, but this is their original source in Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Pshita, isn't this obvious? Hashta, now, uma atchalta, just like in the beginning of a parsha, to come mekil tanakama, where the tanakama was lenient. He said you only had to, you could read one verse. Machmire, but he is stringent at the end that Machmire Yesh Omrim Shir de Machmir. The Yesh Omrim says that you have to read three verses. So Tanakama says you only have to read one, and the Yesh Omrim says you have to read three. Tanakama lo kol shekein de Machmire. Wouldn't the Tanakama for sure be stringent? Sorry, I broke that up wrong. It should read kol shekein de machmire yesh omrim. Of course, the yesh omrim would be machmir, meaning if the yesh omrim are machmir in the beginning, where the tanakama is lenient, and even the tanakama is stringent at the end, then it should be a kal v'chomer that the yesh omrim would be machmir at the end. Mahu detema, but what might I have thought? Nichnasin shchiche, maybe people coming into laning late is common. Yotzin lo shchiche, but people leaving Kriya in the middle are not so common. The manche sefer Torah v'nafke, people are going to walk out of shul while the Torah is sitting on the bima. Of course, it was obviously a more innocent age. So since that's the case, though, I might have thought that since people don't leave shul that often, he wasn't so concerned about the end of the parsha. Kamash Malana comes to teach us that we are careful to have three verses both at the beginning of a parsha and at the end of a parsha. V'tana kama, Maishna shiure de lo mishum yotzin at chule nami gzera mishum hanichnasin. And the Tanakama, the first opinion, if he holds that you have to have three verses at the end of a parsha, why isn't he more stringent that you have to have three verses at the beginning of a parsha? So the Gemara answers, Umri, they say, Man da'ayel shi'ule shayel. When a person who comes into shul late and sees something that doesn't make sense to him, he'll ask the other people sitting in shul, and they'll explain to him what happened. So there's not as much a risk that people will come to misunderstand. But people who are leaving shul, they're going home, or they're walking outside. They'll never get an answer to their question, and they'll come to a wrong conclusion. So that's why the Tanakama feels like, as long as people can ask other people, oh, did they really start this aliyah with fewer than three psukim? And they'll say, no, this is how they did it and why they did it, because they were in shul already. Finally, to conclude our final section, we have to give an answer to what we do on Rosh Chodesh. Shalach le Rava Bre de Rava, Bre de Rava, the Rav Yosef, Hilchas Amai. They sent to him, what is the final halacha? Shalach le sent back to him, Hilchasa, the halacha is Doleg ve'emtza'i doldan. The way in which you will solve the problem of all of these particular shilas is that you repeat the middle, the last verse in the middle. So this is what we do for Rosh Chodesh. We read Aleph Bet Gimel, the first aliyah is 3. Then the second aliyah, we read Gimel Dalet Hey. So the middle one, in this case, there's 2 middle ones because you have 4 aliyahs, but the middle one is being repeated. In a case of 3 aliyot, you would also repeat in the second aliyah because that's the middle one of 3. So the halacha follows Rav that anytime you have a problem in breaking up the psukim, you can repeat one of the verses in order to make it fit. We will stop there. Have a wonderful day.